we have to be much more imaginative than assuming that if aliens exist, then they are all sentient, intelligent, and look like us.
That's Jim Al-Khalili, professor of physics and editor of the book Aliens.
What we're really looking for is any evidence that life exists or did exist somewhere else other than Earth.
And what do you mean when you say we're looking for evidence? What is the evidence that might be out there?
Well, one way is to point our radio telescopes to listen out for signals from space. After all, we've been broadcasting our presence into the universe just ever since we invented radio and television 100 years ago. So whether it's an accidental or a deliberate signal from any alien civilization, we're listening out for those signals. So this is what SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, is all about. But that's looking for life that has advanced enough to become technologically able to send out signals.
But what if you're not technologically able to send out signals? What if you're something akin to a dolphin or even a microbe?
There's also another strand, which is looking for the signatures of life elsewhere, in planets in other star systems, extrasolar planets they're called. And we hear in the news now, in the scientific news almost weekly, of the discovery of another so-called Earth-like planet.
In fact, do you remember Carol Haswell?
I'm an astrophysicist at the Open University, where I do research on exoplanets.
She was on Naked Astronomy back in April talking about her love of exoplanets, planets around other stars, or what Jim calls extrasolar planets, kind of a tomato-tomato thing.
I just thought this is just too exciting, and exoplanets are the way to go.
Anyway, a couple of months ago, she published a big paper in Nature saying she'd found a habitable planet around our nearest star, Proxima Centauri. Scientists independent to the study described it as thrilling because it's close enough for us to send our first interstellar spacecraft. Very exciting indeed. However, that doesn't mean we've found life.
It means we've found another planet which we think could be like Earth. It might be at the right distance from its star so that water can exist in liquid form. It might have an atmosphere, and therefore it could potentially harbour life. But what's really exciting now is that we have the ability to, just by studying the light coming from a star that could pass through the atmosphere of a planet going around that star, that light could carry with it the signature of molecules that could only have been created if life was there. So, you know, certain types of organic molecules or the presence of oxygen or isotopes of carbon. There are certain chemicals that don't occur naturally that can only be created by living organisms.
It's pretty remarkable, isn't it? And I suppose the other thing that we should really talk about is Mars, because there's been so much focus on trying to find out if there is any microbial life or was on Mars. And I'm thinking especially of the very sad ExoMars crash.
Yes, yeah.
But I suppose we're using quite different techniques there as we are to looking at extrasolar planets.
That's right. With Mars, we can actually send probes there, and if they land safely, like Mars rover is still, you know, busy, then they can look at soil samples and really, really study the composition there. We don't believe there's life on Mars now of any form, but there is a strong possibility that Mars did harbour life. Billions of years ago, Mars was much more like Earth. It had an atmosphere. The climate, as it were, was a bit more conducive to life. It was warmer. So life could have existed there, and the jury is still out on whether life exists. I do remember back in the 90s, there was a huge surge of excitement when it was thought that we'd found evidence of fossilized microbes in a meteorite that was discovered on Earth that we believe came from Mars. And studying it under an electron microscope, it was thought that they could see these fossilized remains of a little organism. And that made headline news around the world. But then, of course, they realised that, no, actually, that was some inorganic crystalline structure that could have emerged without any evidence of life. So that was a huge disappointment.
We really are trying our darndest to find life somewhere, anywhere. Where is everybody? Why are we not being successful in this, given how much power and science we're throwing at it?
Yes, you've just quoted the famous Fermi paradox. Enrico Fermi, the nuclear physicist, the Italian nuclear physicist, was in Los Alamos in 1950, and he asked that question. That was just after there was this lots of stories and news coming out that people were seeing flying saucers landing. And so there was a real buzz of excitement about whether aliens were visiting Earth. So, well, okay, if the universe is so big and it's been around for so long and there's so many stars out there, where is everybody? Is the fact that we've received nothing but complete silence for the last half century or more really evidence that we are alone and we should just give up the hope? But actually, despite searching for so many decades, we are only sampling a tiny, tiny fraction of what is out there. After all, we're only looking towards star systems that are close enough to us, you know, 100 or so or light years away or nearer. That's only our little neighbourhood within the Milky Way galaxy. Just because we may never find evidence of life elsewhere doesn't mean there isn't life elsewhere. I mean, just from the laws of probability, the universe is big enough that it must be teeming with life. It's just whether there's anything close enough to us but has evolved and become sentient and developed civilizations and developed technology, enabling it to send signals out to us. So there are lots of steps along the way that would explain why we've heard nothing yet.